cash, every movie costs $2,184.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Backtracks Theme Music. My name is Corey Morse, joined every week by John Mariano. How are you doing today, John?
I'm doing terrific. We're coming off of kicking off this new podcast. We talked about Tiny Dancer last week, and it was the perfect song to kick off the show, right? Like, you picked a song where the whole cast sings along with it in the middle of the movie. And it really does. It really is a turning point of that film in a lot of ways, and iconic to that movie, even though it was written like 20 years before that movie.
Yeah, no, as soon as we decided, when I kind of pitched this idea to you, we're talking about new ways we can expand the Backtracks universe, if you will. I immediately fell upon movie and TV music and theme music in general, because it kind of works as a pun, as John pointed out, that not only is it the theme music from the movie, but it's also the theme of a scene or theme of a movie or something like that. And in Almost Famous, the theme was very much how music brings people together. And this week, it's a John Mariano pick, and I'm interested to know how this pick ties into the theme of the movie, because this is a movie I saw when I was a kid and haven't since. I believe it came out way back in 1985. Is that correct?
Yeah, this is a 1985 film. I got some facts here. I did some homework.
Oh, good.
Yeah. So it was directed by Matthew Robbins, which I don't know much about his filmography, but it introduced me to Helen Slater, who I had a huge crush on in the 80s, and Christian Slater. And Christian Slater, I followed his career very closely. I thought he was the second coming of Jack Nicholson growing up. I think he's carved out an excellent career, even as an adult, on film and TV. And the movie's called The Legend of Billie Jean. And the movie is about Christian Slater plays this brother. His name's Binks, and he has a scooter, and things happen, and he gets roughed up pretty bad. He gets beaten up, and his sister goes to confront the people who beat him up, played by Helen Slater, and she gets almost raped. Christian Slater, to defend her, breaks into the cash register of this store and finds a gun. Owner says it's not loaded. He pulls the trigger. A bullet goes off, and I don't remember if it grazes somebody or something happens. But they then go on the lam and go on the run. Over the course of the summer, it's this group of friends. You're Lee Smith, who goes on to play Lisa Simpson eventually as part of that crew. They go on the run. And Helen Slater, at one point, she cuts her hair and becomes this iconic figure. And Janet Maslin of the New York Times compared her character of Billie Jean to Joan of Arc. And it's very much that type of storyline. It's not, the movie doesn't have a lot of finesse to it, but it has it's not made with a deft hand, but it's very effective. And the performances are very effective in it. And Pat Benatar's Invincible is the theme of this movie. And when that song cranks up, is very much intertwined. Even Corey, even if you don't remember that movie, if you think about how this song makes you feel, that's this movie to a T. And Billie Jean becomes this figure and this character that inspires women and teenagers across, I don't remember if it's California, but wherever it is that summer in the movie, and they like rally behind her. Peter Coyote plays a detective who's chasing them down throughout the movie. And even by the end of the movie, he's turned around on them and he's a believer in them. And it's that kind of movie. And if you haven't seen it, if it's on streaming, seek it out. If it's not on streaming, go find it on Blu-ray or DVD and just watch this movie, because it's a feel good film.
And the only thing I remember about the music was the orchestral score was written by Craig Safin. And I only know that name because he composed the score to Cheers, or the theme song to Cheers. So I thought that was interesting. But then I started going down the listing of all the different acts that are actually on the soundtrack. And you got Wendy O. Williams, Billy Idol, the Divinyls, like some classic 80s acts are on this soundtrack.
Yeah, I mean, I mean, this movie hits in the heart of the 80s. And, you know, early on this show, we're going to cover a couple of films that, whether or not the film inspired me as a kid, going to the record store and buying the 45 or buying the cassette, really clearly defined my appreciation of music. It may have changed over the years and skewed more to hard rock and metal, but, you know, mid-80s, this was absolutely my jam. And my music taste was very much defined by the movies and films I saw and TV shows I saw. And that's what a lot of the show is going to be, is how that music taste developed over time.
All right, John, the folks at home know the song because they clicked on the link, but why don't you tell us officially what song we're listening to this week?
It's Invincible by Pat Benatar. And it's a great look. Pat Benatar is such a quintessential 80s icon that there are multiple women in Fast Times at Ridgemont High who dress like her. And it's pointed out in one of the lines in one of the opening scenes of the movie, where we have three different girls who dress like Pat Benatar in the school. And then they cut to them. And this song in particular is what made me a Pat Benatar fan. This was the first Pat Benatar song as a kid I heard, and it was from watching this movie. And I always sought this movie out to hear the song. But growing up and understanding this movie better and how it's a woman overcoming rape and being strong-armed by men in her town, and sticking up for her brother and all this other stuff, it becomes a lot more powerful. And, you know, I really wanted to cover this song on the first episode, but you picked Tiny Dancer and you picked Almost Famous, and, you know, you weren't as familiar with this movie. So I'm hoping that this conversation leads you to go revisit this movie, Corey.
Oh, already has. As soon as you were talking about it, I'm like, yeah, I got to check that movie out again. And I'm a big Pat Benatar fan. She just got inducted in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And I do know of this song. It was from her album, Seven the Hard Way, actually co-written by Holly Knight and Simon Climey, who also co-wrote Love is a Battlefield. So that's a song I'm very familiar with, and I think most people would be. What do you say, John, if you're ready? Should we spin a little Invincible, the theme from The Legend of Billie Jean?
Yeah, absolutely. Let's go for it, man.
Well, that is about as 80s a beginning of a song as you're ever going to get. I could almost see the jackets with the zippers on them and the acid wash pants.
Yeah, it's 80s, but it also isn't 80s in like a negative connotation. Like it puts you if you're throwing an 80s party and you throw on Invincible, it sets a tone for that party the rest of the night, right? Like it's pop, but it's pop rock. Right, it's got a little attitude to it, a little sachet to it. I love the opening to the song. Right, like I know we do the Aerosmith podcast together, and it's a much different type of music, and the type of music I typically listen to, like Type O Negative and stuff. This is much different than that. But this song is definitely a cornerstone of my music vocabulary.
This bloody road remains.
I talked about this song being empowering and this movie being empowering, you know, just getting through the chorus. Like, do you see what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm. I get that. I also get it's the synthesizers that always kind of make me chuckle a little bit, because whoever's up playing synths on this thing is just going to town. And I picture him with like a Flock of Seagulls haircut and just rocking like a keytar or something.
Oh, it's the 80s sound, and we're going to run into this a lot on this show, Corey. Like, we're going to run into synthesizers like you wouldn't believe. because I have other songs that I'm ready to pull out of my wheelhouse, and they're very synth heavy. And it's not that, you know, I love the synthesizer. It just happens that if you love 80s movies, there's a good chance you're either getting a synthesizer or a saxophone somewhere in there.
Absolutely. I was waiting for a little guitar, because Pat Benatar, you think of Greg Giraldo in there with the guitar as well. We finally got a little bit in that section there. So that was nice.
So I just pulled a great quote from Helen Slater, who starred in this movie. And it was, this song will always bring me back to the part in the movie where Lisa Simpson gets her period for the first time. And Yearly Smith, very, very famously, or not so famously, because it's more of a cult classic, as we've discussed on the show, plays Putter. And as a child, this was my introduction to the changes a woman goes through, because her character over the course of the summer gets her first period, and this song is very much part of that. Like, that's kind of the essence of this movie in a lot of ways. It's about, you know, you know making that transition from child to adult, the loss of innocence to a degree, a little bit of all of that, and also just the empowerment of embracing who you are. And this song, in a lot of ways, I know you're focused on the music part of it, and it's important because we're a music show, and the synthesizers and all of that inform that, but the lyrics very much inform the power, and also Benatar's voice. Mm-hmm. Right, like let's not undercut the power of Benatar's voice, which is highly the focus of the song, in proclaiming we can be invincible. So those are just some thoughts and some context on the song.
Well, yeah, lyrically it fits absolutely perfectly. Again, I don't really remember the movie, but what I've heard from it, this fits in the right well. Is this played over the scene where Lisa Simpson gets her period?
I haven't watched this movie in many years. I know this movie is played several times and revisited several times throughout this movie. Okay. This movie has an incredible soundtrack, incredible 80s soundtrack, kind of as you've already discussed. But this song features very prominently throughout it. It's the through line through the movie. So whether or not this song plays exactly, or if music from this song is kind of lifted up during that scene, because that happens a lot during this movie too. Like, I know this movie has a score, but a lot of the time they'll just push up some of Invincible through it.
I see.
Yeah.
Oh, that solo section is magical. Instead of a guitar solo, we got a funky bass line and some synths in there, and that one guitar just kind of doing that little bend in there. That was cool.
Oh yeah, especially like us doing a lot of these like the Aerosmith or the Van Halen podcast, where we're used to a guitar solo, right? It's a very different instrumental interstitial going on there, right?
Mm-hmm.
I just read something else, which is, I think is kind of hysterical. Pat Benatar hates The Legend of Billie Jean.
Oh, really?
She will frequently say in concert, this song is from one of the worst movies ever made. And apparently one of the reasons why it took so long to come out on DVD is that she held up the music rights so long. For it. Yeah, I'm just reading up on it now. So very interesting, because I genuinely enjoy this movie, and maybe because I saw it younger, but I really feel like it's a female empowerment movie. And I think it's very interesting that, you know, she does not. And it's what introduced me to Pat Benatar's music.
That's right? Interesting. Yeah, you get that a lot, actually, where bands are not happy with the way their songs are used in music or anything like that. And going back to last week, Almost Famous, I know Cameron Crowe tried like hell to get Zeppelin to give him Stairway to Heaven. They wouldn't do it because they didn't really trust that any filmmaker would use that song properly. And then you get situations like this where Invincible wasn't written for the film. Is that correct? They just kind of...
Holly Knight who wrote the song was given a copy of the screenplay and was inspired by the screenplay to write the song. So, you know, it was written for the movie, right? Like officially, like it was written for the movie. Like I'm reading it now, and she was given the script before she started writing the song, and the story of the young female vigilante fighting for justice sparked her imagination, which, you know, you're going to listen to the song, you're going to revisit this movie, and you be the judge of. It makes so much more sense why this song and this movie are so far aligned. I thought they just picked a random Pat Benatar song and were like, yeah, that matches our movie. And it's like, no, that was written for your movie. And it's weird that Pat Benatar's like, yeah, but I don't like that movie.
That is kind of strange. But the song's pretty cool so far.
Yeah, it'd be the same thing as like Ray Parker Jr. going like, I'm not crazy about people busting ghosts.
Yeah, I hate Ghostbusters. I wrote the song for him.
Can see an 80s music video in your head as you're listening to this, can't you?
Oh, absolutely. Like Pat Benatar with like a big haircut and doing the 80s dance, and absolutely.
So this song did three things for me, Corey, as a kid, and it very clearly made me a Pat Benatar fan. Like I bought her albums. I was a huge fan. Still a big fan. People will come into my car and listen to my thrash metal and my grunge and all the crap I play in my car. And then all of a sudden Pat Benatar gets thrown in there and I will get the weirdest looks. It's like, this is very much a part of who I am. So whether you like this or not, this is playing. Right. So it did that for me. It gave me one of my first crushes growing up was Helen Slater. Mm-hmm. Helen Slater would go on to play Supergirl, or she may have played Supergirl before this movie, but she plays Supergirl, and she also plays the object of Michael J. Fox's affection in The Secret of My Success. Okay. And those very much were movies where I was like, I'm seeking out, Helen Slater in these movies. And then Christian Slater goes on to do Gleaming the Cube, Pump Up the Volume, which is one of my favorite. Like, we can talk about that movie sometime on the show.
Oh yeah,
because my God, is that a movie kind of like You're Almost Famous, where the music is instrumental to the movie. Mm-hmm. And Christian Slater to me was the essence of cool growing up, right? Like, I often compare them to Jack Nicholson for so many obvious reasons, from the eyebrows to the mannerisms to the way he, phrased his lines in the movie, his attitude, his swagger, and became one of my favorite actors growing up. And all of that comes out of seeing The Legend of Billie Jean, which has Dean Stockwell, another of super underrated and great actor in his own right, and Peter Coyote, who we all love from E.T. and several other great movies he's made over his lifetime.
Yes, and actually, Legend of Billie Jean came out the year after Supergirl. So there you have it. That the era of when Helen Slater was probably at her most powerful, coming off Supergirl and then The Legend of Billie Jean. I'm just looking it up here to see if you could actually stream it anywhere. I believe it's on Prime Video. So if you're an Amazon Prime subscriber, give The Legend of Billie Jean a shot. I think I'm going to, as soon as we log off this call, John, I'm going to check this movie out.
Yeah. Definitely let me know your thoughts on it, because I'm curious to see what you think. We're going to add this to our playlist, Backtracks theme songs, theme music, right? Theme music. What's the name of the show?
Backtracks Theme Music.
Yeah, I blame you for that because
you're the one that named it.
Yeah, but you expect me to remember things?
Yeah,
put me on a second show. It's all your fault.
This is my third. How am I going to keep it all straight?
I don't know. I don't know how you do it. That's why you're producer of the year, Corey.
There you go. All right, so that's two that we've got on the Spotify playlist right now, John. We're adding a third next week, and I get to pick it. Should I give you a little tease?
I would love you to tease me.
First of all, I got two, and I can't decide between the two, John. So I'm going to give you 2 years, and you pick the year, and then I'll give you a little tease. So the years are 1984, year before Billie Jean, sorry, Legend of Billie Jean, or 1991.
Let's go to the 90s. Let's go with 91.
Okay, so this is our first film from the 90s. Almost Famous was 2000. Today's was 85. We're going to go to 1991. We're going to go to a little scene film at the time, but it's become a cult classic. I know John loves it when I use that term, so I'm going to pick cult classics every damn week now. It's a little film directed by Alan Parker, and it's very much about music, and it features the iconic line, "I'm black and I'm proud." That's all I'm going to give you, and you probably have never even seen this movie, but it's one of my all-time favorites. Alan Parker, 1991, a little bit of Dublin soul, perhaps, if that helps you out. That's what we got to look forward to next week.
I think I might know this movie. I think I'll tell you off the air, and you can tell me, or at least describe it. I don't know if I remember the title, but I think I remember this movie.
Okay, and if you haven't seen it, you're going to have to check it out, because it's legitimately a wonderful little movie. But that is going to wait till next week. So on behalf of John Mariano, my name is Corey Morrison. And once again, we're going to leave you with a famous quote.
She was a fugitive to the police. A sensation to the media. What are we running for? And a symbol of courage to young people everywhere to fight for what's right.
Where is she?
Everywhere.
The Legend of Billie Jean, directed by Matthew Robbins, featuring Pat Benatar's hit song Invincible, rated PG-13. Starts Friday at a theater near you.